What's up, you guys? I'm Haley.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Inhuman, a true crime podcast.
Welcome back.
Happy whatever day of the week it is you are listening to this.
Happy week.
Happy week. That's, I think, our new saying. Happy yeah. week. But today I have a case for you guys that I don't want to say much about it. Let's just get into it.
All right. Sounds good.
How to Get Away with Murder, Murder, She Wrote, A Good Girl's Guide to Murder, Anatomy of a Murder, Murder on the Orient Express. These are all media and books that are well known today and titles we hear or see and don't really have a second thought about. Mm. The same was true for Nancy Brophy's self-published essay, How to Murder Your Husband. It Oof. Seemed innocent. But when her husband was murdered 7 years after she published the work, it was a little too much of a coincidence to not be investigated.
Yeah.
So this is the story of the murder of Daniel Brophy.
Okay.
Nancy Crampton was born on June 16th, 1950 in Wichita Falls, Texas. She graduated from a local high school and then went on to attend the University of Houston, which she graduated with a degree in economics. After graduating from college, she married a police officer, and their marriage didn't last too long, but it's not exactly clear why their marriage fell apart. There's not a lot of information. Yeah. There was one thing that I read that said that she didn't allow for her husband, who was a police officer, to keep his gun collection inside the home. So that's just interesting and kind of will be, yeah, relevant later, maybe a little bit. But there's not a lot of information like why their marriage fell apart, but it did.
That's fair.
And in either 1990 or 1991, Nancy moved from Texas to Oregon to begin attending the Le Cordon Bleu College of Culinary Arts.
Ooh, la la. I had a friend that went there. Very nice school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so cool. Like, I wish I could be a chef and cook. Like, I make, like, pasta, and I'm like, look at me.
Look at me. I made a meal. I'm, like, a pretty good cook, but, like, not that
level. Yeah, you are. Yeah, but you do more than I do.
You'll get there.
Maybe. But at this school, she met Daniel Brophy, who was an instructor. And it was actually his first term teaching, and it was her first class at the school when they met.
Ooh, scandalous.
At the time, Daniel was married, but we don't know exactly like what was going on with his relationship, if they were separated, if they were like, you know, not really together. But according to court records, he got divorced in 1994. So okay. When they first met, he was still like legally married. But again, we don't know if like
the ins and outs of that.
He was exactly.
Yeah.
He also had a son, but it's been reported that he was largely estranged from his son as the son grew up.
Okay.
Nancy and Daniel eventually began dating, and in 1999, they got married. At least they did a big ceremony party wedding, but they actually did not file their legal marriage paperwork until June 14th, 2016.
What?
Yeah. What? So they like.
That's so weird.
By all accounts, they were married, but they weren't legally married until 2016. But my guess, as we'll find out later, is they were struggling financially in 2018 when the murder took place. So I'm wondering if it had something to do with that. They were like, well, if we're legally married, we can get a tax cut or whatever.
True.
But yeah, they just didn't file the paperwork.
Yeah. And it's not like it's, you know, it's weird. Like, oh my God, weird to like have a celebration and not actually get legally married. But it sounds to me like maybe they led people to believe that they were married. And that's where it's weird.
I don't think that it was like they were trying to hide it necessarily. Yeah. I think they just never filed the paperwork, which I get. It's complicated to file marriage license and stuff. So like they just never did it.
Yeah.
But after they got married, Daniel taught at the Culinary Institute while Nancy ran a catering business called Chef du Jour Catering. And she had graduated from the culinary school and she ran the business, which according to a 1999 tax return, earned up to $500,000 in certain years.
Wow.
So I don't think it was like consistently earning that much, but yeah, at least 1 year it earned that much money.
Okay.
But after 9/11, as the economy was starting to fail, her business started to fail as well. There were cutbacks in the local restaurant scene in Portland, and she just wasn't having as many customers. So she was ultimately forced to reduce her staff from 25 to 15, and eventually the business faltered. Mm. Nancy had a hobby, though. She liked to write. So she dabbled in writing since college, and, you know, after her business started faltering and eventually failed, she kind of took her writing a little bit more seriously. She took to writing romance novels, several of which she self-published, and this included a book called The Wrong Husband, which was written in 2015, and it, quote, tells of a woman who escapes an abusive and powerful spouse during a shipwreck in the Mediterranean and who later falls for one of the men sent to find her.
Interesting. Okay.
So a lot of these stories were kind of like almost like star-crossed lovers, like,
yeah,
you know, getting in, like people were in a wrong relationship and then got
like rescue,
with someone they were meant to
like
be with.
Knight in shining, yeah, armor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And according to Oregon Live, quote, Nancy's books featured rugged men, strong women, and a good story. Their paperback covers depicted handsome heroes and at least one heroine with chiseled bodies and dark, coiffed hair. Her larger-than-life characters often dodged danger while seeking fortune and love.
Okay.
Nancy self-published 9 novels in all, but she didn't really see a lot of monetary success from these novels. One source said that they have like less than a dozen reviews on Amazon. Like, she was publishing these, but it, yeah, wasn't like she was some huge author.
Right. And when you're self-publishing, you kind of know that. Like, I mean, you should, yeah, know that going into it.
Yeah.
But, you know, good for her anyway for giving it a go.
Yeah, she was going after something that she wanted
enjoyed
to do.
Yeah.
She also wrote a self-published essay called How to Murder Your Husband. Yeah. So this essay discussed possible motives a woman would have for murdering her husband, and this included adultery, domestic violence, and greed.
Okay.
An excerpt from the essay reads, quote, "As a romantic suspense writer, I spend a lot of time thinking about murder and consequently about police procedure. After all, if the murder is supposed to set me free, I certainly don't want to spend any time in jail. I find it is easier to wish people dead than to actually kill them. I don't want to worry about blood and brains spattered on my walls.
Ew.
And really, I'm not good at remembering lies. But the thing I know about murder is that every one of us has it in him/her when pushed far enough." Which, like,
I don't know. I mean, I think that in a you know, dire, your children's life is at risk situation, maybe you
That's
can muster
true.
That up, but I wouldn't say that every person has that in them, because they don't.
No.
They just don't.
There's definitely people who couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah.
A little
just
much.
Weird. Just weird to say that. Just weird to
write
publish
that.
Yeah. Period.
Yeah. And in this essay, she also discussed the pros and cons of various methods of murder, which is even weirder. So according to the Washington Post and the New York Times, she wrote how guns are too loud and messy and that they required skill, how poison may not work and is too traceable, how a hitman might rat you out to the police, and how knives are too personal. She okay. also explained that a wife who kills her spouse must be ruthless and very clever, as she is likely to become a prime suspect.
True, but what other method is there? Because I don't think a woman has the strength to strangle a man, you know? Because
yeah, not unless they like drug
right.
him or something like that.
True,
but
true. Yeah. So what, yeah, no. what was her method? Like, what does that leave?
Yeah, and, you know, I think it was more like she was writing the pros and cons of all of
yeah.
this, of like, you know, and this essay isn't, you can't find the actual essay, so other than a couple excerpts, there's not much, so, and the Washington Post and New York Times that wrote about this just listed out like the cons, but yeah. She probably wrote something like a gun is quick or like poison is, I don't know. I can't even think of it.
Yeah.
I've never thought about that, but
yeah, no, know. Same.
But she, you know, wrote all of this, and her author page read, quote, in writing fiction, you dig deep and unearth portions of your life, of your own life that you've long forgotten or had purposefully buried deep. Granted, sometimes it is smarter to change the ending. So just, you know, very interesting.
Yeah.
But despite all of this that she wrote, over the 25 years that Daniel and Nancy were together, they lived a seemingly happy life in Oregon. Again, Daniel was a chef. He was an instructor at the Oregon Culinary Institute. He was also, he was a beloved instructor there. He worked since 2006 at the Institute. And so at the time of his death in 2018, he had worked there for 12 years.
Wow.
He was described on the Institute's website as, quote, an expert in marine biology and mushrooms, as well as a master gardener with an offbeat sense of humor.
That's
so he
funny.
Literally was like a mushroom, like harvester type of thing. Like he was really into different
so
kinds
cool.
of mushrooms,
like out foraging like, in the forest, like
exactly
looking for turkey tails yeah. and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, it was like really cool that he was into that.
Yeah, that is neat.
Nancy's author website also mentioned her husband, but just said he was a chef. And she said, or she wrote on the website, quote, we've had our ups and downs, more good times than bad.
So not really endearing, not really giving the vibe
yeah.
of like this, I have this awesome husband who's so supportive, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no, not really.
Interesting.
According to Oregon Live, the couple lived a, quote, quiet life together in the suburbs, raising chickens and tending a big garden. So, you know, by all accounts, they seemed happy. There wasn't like a lot of contention in their marriage. Maybe
right.
they weren't the most like lovey-dovey couple, but they seemed to be living, you know, a fine life.
Right.
In the late 2010s, though, the couple was beginning to struggle financially, and that's when Nancy decided to take things to a level no one ever should.
Mm-hmm.
June 2nd, 2018 was a normal morning for students at the Oregon Culinary Institute. At least it was until they arrived at the classroom at class to find their teacher, 63-year-old Daniel Brophy, lying in the classroom dead in a pool of blood.
Jesus.
Investigators immediately determined that Daniel had been shot twice, and it was later determined that he was shot first in the back of the head as he was filling ice and water buckets for his students for the day, and then he was shot a second time in the chest at close range.
Oh my, so he was completely caught off guard.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
His manner of death was obviously ruled a homicide, and
yeah.
the investigation was kind of slow to start because there was no obvious motive. His wallet had cash and credit cards inside and was still on his body, and there was no other sign of robbery in the classroom and no sign of forced entry.
Did they not have cameras in the school? Like, what? It's 2018.
Yeah, true. I don't know. There are cameras, but not in the classroom.
Oh, okay.
Nancy, of course, was questioned, and she told investigators that on the morning of June 2nd, she had walked her dogs and then gone home to take a shower. And at first, there was no real reason to suspect that she wasn't telling the truth. Nancy appeared to be a grief-stricken wife. On Facebook, she wrote a message to friends and family describing Daniel as her best friend. And she wrote that she was, quote, struggling to make sense of everything. In the post, she also wrote, quote, while I appreciate all of your responses, I am overwhelmed. Please save phone calls for a few days until I can function. So, you know,
That's fair.
By all accounts, she seemed like a grieving wife. But
yeah.
despite this attempt to show her feelings of sadness and shock over her husband's murder, Nancy's reaction did seem a little bit odd to one neighbor, a man named Don McConnell, who had lived next door to the Brophys for the 6 years before the murder. McConnell would later tell the Oregonian that he, quote, didn't have what he would, or that Nancy, quote, didn't have what he would consider a normal reaction to her husband's death. He said she never showed any signs of being upset or sad. He said, I would say she had an air of relief, like it was almost a godsend.
Yeah, but like, to play devil's advocate, did he live with her? Was he with her every No. waking moment? Because some people put on a brave face, mm-hmm. you know, for others. And then behind the scenes, behind the closed doors of their home, they're a mess.
Yeah. You know? And I had the same thought, because it's very much like, you don't know how other people are going to react to this type of thing.
Yeah. Grief and is weird. So, I mean, it's yeah. fucking weird. I mean, I still get hit with grief from when my grandfather died when I was 8 years old, you know? So like, it's weird to like judge somebody based on how they grieve, but obviously Agreed. We know where this is headed. So obviously he was on to something that we didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. Now this was kind of odd, because at one point he also said he was discussing the investigation with Nancy, you know, talking to her about what was going on, and like
yeah.
him saying it kind of seems like a student came in and maybe like had yeah. a reason to kill him.
It's
and
a good
he just asked like, oh, are the police like keeping you up to date on the investigation? And she was kind of like, no, but that's because I'm a suspect.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, to Dawn, she was like unfazed and emotionless when mentioning this, yeah. as if she wasn't like at all concerned. Like,
we're not worried.
So that was like, just kind of weird to him.
Happens.
Yeah. 3 months into the investigation, though, it did appear that Nancy was a suspect. While the case was seemingly starting to run cold with, you know, the murder weapon never being found, no forensic evidence pointing to any suspects, and no leads,
yeah.
investigators were slowly gathering evidence against Nancy. Former Portland Police Bureau officer Aaron Sparling analyzed Nancy's computers that they seized to determine if there was enough digital evidence to prove if she had killed her husband. Oof. So he analyzed 3 laptops that belonged to Nancy, which were found in the closet, on her bed, and in a storage unit. So the laptops from the storage unit and her bed had pretty much nothing. But the laptop in her closet told a different story.
Was it like hidden? Like it was purposely tucked away?
Or? I don't know. They didn't say.
Kind of alluding to that, but not confirmed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, according to her internet search history, in late 2017, Nancy was searching untraceable ghost guns. Now, I didn't know what a ghost gun was.
I don't know what
according
that is
to, yeah, I was like, what the heck? But it's not as like scary as it sounds. According to Every Town for Gun Safety, a ghost gun is a DIY homemade gun from easy to get building blocks that can be purchased with no background check and no questions mm-hmm. asked. Okay. They are made by a person, not a federally licensed manufacturer or importer.
So basically,
essentially they're just
go ahead,
unregistered, untraceable guns.
Like you're ordering parts from different places mm-hmm. and then building your own gun, essentially.
Exactly.
Terrifying.
Okay. Yeah. So in January 2018, Nancy purchased a ghost gun kit. However, this was found to never have been built. But in early 2018, she also spent $15,000 on guns and gun parts, despite the fact that her and Daniel were struggling financially. Hmm. In February, just 5 months before Daniel's murder, Nancy began researching where to buy a gun locally, including searching, quote, gun shops in Portland, when do you have to register a gun in Oregon, and Portland Expo Gun Show 2018. She purchased a Glock 17 from a local gun show, and then she also purchased a Glock handgun barrel on eBay. So investigators also found in her search history that she had made searches including how to clean a Glock 17 and how to load a 9mm Glock. Her search history showed that she watched videos on assembling, disassembling, and cleaning a Glock 17. Now, like I mentioned earlier, the murder weapon was never found, but according to forensic analysis of the bullets that killed Daniel, investigators were able to determine that they came from a Glock 17 handgun. The Glock 17 9mm gun found in the Brophy's home was not a match to the murder weapon, but investigators believe that Nancy had likely attached that barrel that she purchased from eBay on the Glock 17 that was found in her home, the one that she had purchased at the gun show, and then switched them back after the murder.
That makes sense.
So I don't know a lot about guns, so I was kind of confused, but essentially doing this would make it so that the shell casings from the bullets fired would not match the actual weapon. So right. This would allow it to, she could have used that gun with the replacement barrel and then taken the barrel off, and it wouldn't look like a match.
Right.
One photo taken of Nancy's gun showed that the slide and the barrel weren't properly seated, indicating that this switch could have happened. And while it's not a smoking gun, literally or figuratively, it did point towards Nancy as a potential suspect.
Yeah. And the fact that she's like looking up all that shit right before her husband is gunned down is just suspicious. In and of itself.
Yeah. Yeah. And she would later claim that she had taken it apart and put it back together, but not to switch the barrel. So that would like explain why it looked like it wasn't properly seated. Mm. She also admitted to purchasing that extra slide and barrel, but she claimed that it had been lost and that she never used them. But that extra slide and barrel were never recovered.
Yeah, because she got rid of it.
Tossed it. Yeah. So with the evidence mounting against Nancy Crampton Brophy, she was arrested on September 6th, 2018, and charged with the murder of her husband.
Damn.
It took a few years for her to go to trial, and in that time, investigators continued to build the case against her. In 2020, traffic cam footage was discovered that showed Nancy arriving and leaving from the Oregon Culinary Institute where Daniel was killed. Some sources say that this showed her there about 40 minutes before Daniel was found, whereas some sources say it showed her there during a 13-minute window that the homicide took place. Mm-hmm. So it's unclear, but essentially, it showed that she was there this morning, that morning.
Yeah.
And after this footage was found, she changed her story to say that she didn't go and walk the dogs and take a shower that morning, but that she went to get coffee and had gone to the institute to work on her writing. But she said she didn't initially remember this because she had suffered from retrograde amnesia due to the trauma of finding out her husband had been killed.
Well, that's convenient.
Right?
Look that up.
Yeah. Yeah. So she changed her story, but was like, oh, but like, it wasn't a change. It was just that, like, trauma. I didn't remember this. Yeah.
Trauma. Yeah.
Yeah. But by April 2022, prosecutors had developed a largely circumstantial case against Nancy, and they were going to trial. They alleged that Nancy's motive was financial. Mm-hmm. It was no secret that the couple had been struggling financially, and Daniel Brophy had several life insurance policies, with some sources saying there were as many as 10 different policies.
Wow.
And these policies totaled to about $1.4 million.
Phew, that's no chump change.
Mm-hmm. And just days after the murder, Nancy requested from the police an official statement saying she was not a suspect, which was necessary for her to collect cash on the policies.
Yeah.
But this was just 4 days after her husband was murdered, which, like, again, if you need the money, that makes sense. But 4 days later, like, you're not going to not be able to pay bills because your husband didn't get paid for 4 days. Like,
right. Yeah.
Additionally, without Daniel alive, Nancy would be the sole owner of the couple's $300,000 house. And she would be eligible for workers' compensation, workers' comp claim, since he died at work.
Jeez.
The prosecution's case included Nancy's changing story and the forensic evidence of the bullets that killed Daniel being from a Glock 17, which Nancy had a gun in her possession, and all of the search histories and research she had done.
Yeah. How do you explain that?
Exactly. So Officer Aaron Sparling, who was the one who did all of the investigation into the digital evidence, said, quote, "This case wasn't built around photographs and text messages. It was built entirely around internet evidence. It's all search history. I can't recall a single other case in my tenure that was built off of internet-related evidence."
Interesting.
Unfortunately for the prosecution, the judge on the case, Judge Christopher Ramres, ruled that Nancy's essay, the How to Murder Your Husband essay, could not be actually used as evidence in her trial. So the judge said, quote, any minimal probative value of an article written that long ago is substantially outweighed by the danger of unfair prejudice and confusion of the issues. So basically the judge was like, it doesn't directly point to anything. So, and right. it was written 5 years before the murder, yeah. or no, 7 years before the murder. So like,
yeah,
it
I mean,
only, like it might sway the jury.
The likelihood that she wrote that at the time contemplating and like was also simultaneously contemplating killing her husband is probably mm-hmm. unlikely, but the fact that she ultimately did kill her husband and showed mm-hmm. in, you know, a thorough paper how to get away with it, which she essentially probably would have had she not searched that shit on her personal mm-hmm. computer like a dumbass, yep. I feel like it should have definitely been used.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, so they couldn't directly use it, but they did allude to it in their arguments, and mm-hmm. Nancy nice. Took the stand. And so in their questioning of her, they kind of talked about some of the themes that were in the article. Mm-hmm. So the last question that prosecutors asked Nancy on the stand was, if there was one thing that you know about murder, is it that anyone is capable of doing it? Which is what she had said.
Yeah.
And her response was that she absolutely believed that. She said, quote, people can murder if they get pushed into a corner or to protect somebody or in a rage. Mm-hmm. And she also said that financial issues could be a big reason for murder.
Right. Not looking good for
but
you.
But she also took the stand in her own defense, claiming she had nothing to do with her husband's death. Her defense claimed that Nancy and Daniel had purchased the gun together and that she had actually given it to him for his protection while he was out foraging for mushrooms.
Which may be true, but doesn't it make it be. Any less, you know, probable that that was what was used to murder him.
Exactly. She also said that they had purchased the gun after hearing about mass shootings that were happening in the country and becoming scared mm-hmm. for their safety. Now, you'll get a kicker out of this. She claimed that she purchased the other gun components off of eBay because she had been doing research for a new novel that she was writing in which a woman was carefully acquiring gun parts.
I mean, okay. Okay. So who's to argue with her about that? I mean, sure. Yeah. I guess people do that when they're doing research for things. They order the things, learn more about the things that they're discussing, but it's too coincidental.
Too coincidental.
It's
yeah.
like the puzzle pieces are fitting, honey. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah. And the defense pointed out that in the past she had purchased things like antique doorknobs and law enforcement quality handcuffs as part of writing or research for her right. writing. So they were like, look, she has done this before, which is very true, but it's too, like you said, it's too much of a
just
coincidence.
Just too coincidental, yeah. I can't get past yeah. that.
During her testimony, Nancy called Daniel smart, funny, kind, and humble. And she talked about the grief she felt after her husband's death. And she also explained that the couple weren't really in financial trouble anymore. She said that they were planning to sell their home and buy a smaller one so they could pay off some of their debt. And the defense claimed that Daniel was planning to teach weekend classes and that he got a part-time job cooking at a rehab center to make some additional money. So her attorneys basically explained that by 2018, their finances had been improving and they were no longer struggling. They had about $10,000 in their bank account and they had paid down a significant amount of their debt.
Okay, but to be fair, those things are future plans. They hadn't sold mm-hmm. their house yet. He hadn't started the weekend classes.
Exactly.
So, sure, you were probably planning that, but then you're like, wait a minute. I don't want to sell my house. I don't want to have yeah. to do X, Y, and Z. And mm-hmm. there's probably many other factors that we just don't know.
Yeah.
That pushed her to that limit, you know?
Yeah, she very well could have, like, been mad at something that he did or said yeah. or I mean she noted
he was working too much yeah
were reasons to murder your husband so yep. those could have been the reasons too
yep.
The prosecution of course was painting a different picture, alleging that Nancy had planned to murder her husband and that her writings proved that while maybe she hadn't directly planned out what she was going to do, she had at least thought about it before. In closing arguments, Deputy DA Sean Overstreet said, quote, "She had the plan in place. She had the opportunity to carry out this murder. She was the only person who had the motive."
And there were no other persons of interest or suspects, correct?
Nope. Not at all. And no other indication of motive, like no robbery, no students that had grudges against him. Like there was literally nothing.
Yeah. And he sounded like, I mean, obviously good people can have dark streaks, dark sides, but he sounded like a good man. You know, everybody liked him. His students liked him. He was personable and smart, and like all the things she said. So
exactly. Nancy Brophy's trial lasted 7 weeks. After 2 days of deliberation, on May 25th, 2022, the jury came back with a verdict. Nancy Brophy was convicted of the second-degree murder of Daniel Brophy. As the verdict was handed down, Nancy stood quietly and did not seem to react. Although she was wearing a face mask because, like, COVID. Yeah. So her full facial expression couldn't be seen, but yeah.
Wow.
On June 14th, 2022, Nancy Crampton Brophy was sentenced to life in prison. She can be considered for parole after 25 years, but at that point she will be 97 years old.
Wow. Damn.
According to the Department of Corrections records, 73-year-old Nancy Lee Crampton Brophy is currently serving her sentence at the Coffee Creek Correctional Facility in Wilsonville, Oregon. Mm-hmm. After Nancy's conviction, Daniel's son from his first marriage, Nathaniel Stillwater, said, quote, "We've all been waiting 3.5, almost 4 years now to start grieving this loss. To finally have some closure has been very important and meaningful for our family, and we feel that we can start to move on and remember my father always, but begin the process of starting to grieve."
Wow.
Daniel's mother, Karen, said after the verdict, quote, "I'm just very, very thankful that everything has turned out the way it has. It's been a long 3.5 years.
Sad.
Daniel Brophy was beloved by many, including many of his students at the Oregon Culinary Institute and those who interacted with him. He was described as a loving, kind man, and his mother, Karen, was happy that at least the world got to learn about her son through the trial, saying, quote, "I feel like through the trial, Portland has learned that our son was a great guy, and we really miss him. And it's been a heartwarming experience in that way to know how much people thought of him and what a great guy he really was."
It's like making me choke up a little bit.
I know. But that is the story of the murder of Daniel Brophy and how Nancy Brophy did it. I don't know if she like thought she was going to get away with it and what she thought.
And why
she could get out of this.
Was the real, I mean, obviously it does sound like the financial thing, but God, how you have to like, I feel like you would have to just like hate your husband to kill him for his life insurance. Like, I could not imagine doing that, like under any terms.
They had been together for 25 years. Yeah, how do you just murder your husband?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it feels like there's more to the story, whether it's her own delusions or something actual, you know, actually happened. But
I honestly just think that she was like thought she deserved more or was, you know, greedy, like she explained, or like he did something that pissed her off and she was like,
greed,
well, if I kill him,
rage,
my debt will go away and I won't have to deal with him anymore. So I don't know, but it's such a sad story. And I mean, divorce is an option, people. Like, just get divorced.
And you know, you can split things 50-50 and go on about your life. You don't have to you know, whatever. And it sounds like that. he was a good guy, and it could have been civil. So
It could have. So it's so sad, and I just feel so bad for his family. But that's all I have for you guys today. Crazy story, and definitely makes me think twice about the people who are writing things. I mean, I watched an episode of a show about this case, and they were like, you know, the person who wrote The Godfather isn't a murderer, but like, definitely just makes you think twice about some of these like shows and books and movies and stuff that it's like those people. I mean, I get that people can come up with a lot in their imagination, but
like you mentioned, How to Get Away with Murder, like that's such a good show. And I don't know if you've seen it, not to give anything away, but literally
it's so good.
Get away with murder. And it gets really twisted. And but that's not the point of the show. The class is to teach you how to be a lawyer so you can get your
clients off.
Clients off, you know, with murder, off of murder or whatever. Yeah. So, but yeah, good show. Definitely watch it.
Yeah, highly recommend that show. Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting to think about that. Kind of, I don't know. I read a lot of like thriller books too. And like some of them I'm like, how do you think of this? But
twisted mind. You know,
people are creative, but definitely if anybody close to these people who write stuff like this are killed, then might be, you know, not worth that these people are killers, but you know.
But some people do get like just enthralled in their creativity and they do weird stuff. I mean, look at Johnny Depp when he was making Pirates. He talked with that accent for like years. I think he still says it. I think he still kind of talks in that accent, honestly.
He kind of does.
So that's the mind is a weird place.
It is. And the fact that our brain is the one trying to understand our brain really freaks me out.
Yeah, it's like Inception, like just keeps going.
Yeah. So before we get any more into that crazy world of thought, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for being here and supporting our podcast. We will have new episodes for you next week. And until then, keep it human.
Bye, guys.